Hello and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn podcast network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hey friends, I just wanted to pop in and talk a little bit about MBOM behind the scenes. When I entered the yoga world as a teacher, I was surprised by how many yoga teachers were struggling with the business side of yoga. And that's why I created MBOM. MBOM helps yoga teachers and studio owners become entrepreneurs. It helps you to go from surviving to thriving with your yoga business. I am on a mission to change the yoga industry, to teach yoga teachers and studio owners about the business of yoga, and to help you feel more confident, successful, and abundant. After releasing hundreds of podcast episodes, I want to create content that dives deeper into helping yoga entrepreneurs thrive and elevate their businesses. This is where MBOM Behind the Scenes comes in. Each week, you will get bonus content from the weekly guest or myself, diving deeper into how you can take the teachings and apply them to your business. This podcast is designed for yoga teachers and studio owners who are ready to take it to the next level. If you enjoy MBOM and have been looking for an affordable way to learn more, this is it. For the cost of 2 lattes per month, you will get never-before-heard content that you can't access anywhere else that will give you tangible ways to dive deeper into your yoga business. If this sounds like something you're interested in, let's dive in. Head on over to patreon.com/MBOM yoga and sign up to get behind the scenes now. Once again, that's patreon.com/MBOM yoga to get all the exclusive behind the scenes content. I'll see you there. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the MBOM podcast. I am very excited that you've decided to join me for today's episode of the show. And today on the podcast, I am excited to be joined by Denight Beret. She is joining me from Buffalo, New York, and Denight is the founder of the Asmara Agency. She is a brand and marketing strategist, and she is here to talk about all things branding. And this is a conversation that is super important for us to be having in the yoga world because when it comes to our yoga businesses, we think about cool fonts and beautiful colors that represent the vibe that we want to give off with our yoga business and the yoga offerings that we have. And while all of that is really awesome, that's not necessarily what branding is all about. And that's not necessarily how you're going to get clients through the door. So on this episode, Denight and I talk a little bit about her backstory, how she got into branding and marketing. And then we just dive right into her top tips for branding, what you need to consider when it comes to branding, how to create great messages to actually reach your clients, and all of that good stuff. Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to give a quick little shout out and thank you to Offering Tree for sponsoring this episode of the show. Offering Tree is truly your one-stop shop for all things digital marketing in your business. So everything from your website to your email newsletter to your online course offerings, your scheduling and payment plans, and all of that good stuff. I'm going to tell you more about them a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, I hope that you enjoy this episode of the show with Denight. Welcome to the podcast today, Denight. I'm really excited to have you here with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I think this conversation is going to be really awesome, both for myself and for listeners of the show. So I'm stoked to dive in. But before we get there, where are you joining me from today?
Yeah, I am in Buffalo, New York. So that's a western part of New York, not close to New York City at all. And today it's actually looking really beautiful outside. So I'm really excited about that.
Amazing. You're basically in Canada. So spring is hopefully around the corner soon.
Yes, exactly. That's it. What we're hoping for is spring to be popping up soon.
Amazing. I love it. And you run a really fabulous branding and messaging business. And I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and just kind of how you got into the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, I run a brand and marketing agency called the Asmara Agency. And I started back in 2017. at a time in my life where I didn't really know what was next. I had a lot of plans in terms of like what I wanted to do next. School-wise, I had gotten my degree. My degree's in biochem. And so I was thinking I was going to go to med school, all these things. And I realized that wasn't the path I really wanted to take. And I've always had an interest in business. I started my very first business when I was in sixth grade, creating custom design bookmarks for people, for my classmates. And we got so big that I had to like hire friends to help me. And I was like paying them and we were laminating these things. It was pretty intense. So I have always had an interest in business and knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur at some point. I always thought it would be in the context of like, I'll have my own clinic or something like that. But I always, because of that interest, I always took business classes in college. I took I minored in psychology because I was always so fascinated with why is it that we make the buying decisions that we do? Why do we do the things that we do? What is it about someone, you know, what is it about ads and things like that that make us interested and get us excited? So I've always been studying that. I think I read my first like business psychology book in when I was like in ninth grade. And so that was always a part of the things that I was interested in and was kind of dabbling in. And at when I was at the summer of 2017, when I was thinking about like, what comes next? What am I supposed to be doing? I'm not really sure. I had friends who were like, well, you've always been designing websites and like helping people, you know, come up with their branding. And you're always really good at things when we ask you, and these are business friends that I had. And they're like, why don't you just start doing that? And you can charge to do that. And I was like, what? I can? I didn't realize that someone would pay me to do that work. And so I dove in and took my experience in the design space, my marketing experience, had a lot of marketing experience from my previous work experiences, and just really diving into that world. And that's kind of how the agency was born. And so here we are 3.5 years later, still going strong. And it's just really become a really big part of who I am and what I'm excited to do every day.
Yeah, that's really amazing to hear. I love that you've just been an entrepreneur at heart since you were a little girl and just diving into this whole business entrepreneurship world and now running your own successful business. It's just really inspiring to hear. So I love that story. And I'm curious if we can dive into branding a little bit and speaking towards, you know, yoga teachers, yoga studio owners. And I think maybe let's start with kind of the things that you hear the most often around like what yoga teachers think branding is all about. Because I think that sometimes we don't know, we hear these words and we think a certain thing, but we don't know exactly what this is all about.
Yeah, that's a really excellent question. So a lot of times we think branding, or at least what I hear from business owners, yoga teachers, is I need a logo. I need to find some colors that are going to work. I need to have this cohesive look. I need to have this really beautiful website. And we get fixated on those elements of branding, and they are a part of branding. Design is a large part of branding because it helps create this distinctive look for your business that becomes this thing that becomes recognizable in the long term, right? But that's essentially what the design element is. It's a long-term strategy. It isn't something that is a part of branding overall. It's a small piece of branding is what I like to tell people. And so I get a lot of times people coming to me saying, okay, yep, I need a website. I need a color palette. I need a logo. And just talking about these design elements. And instead of thinking about branding as a whole, which is really like, what makes you unique? Who is it that you serve? What is the message that you're sharing? And those are the things that make a brand and get people to connect with you. No one is really buying your services or hiring you as a yoga teacher because they like your logo. They're not looking at that and going, yep, that's exactly why. They're coming to you because of what you're sharing, how you're sharing it, your unique process. And that is truly what branding really means.
Yeah, I love that you clarified that because I think that yoga teachers are kind of innately like creative people. Like we get excited about, you know, creating amazing sequences and building a playlist off of that. And so it makes sense that when it comes to the business side, we'd be drawn to this idea of like, I want to create a beautiful logo that really represents my classes and have, you know, a nice font that goes with it and a pretty website and all those things, right? It's like that visual creative side of things. And sometimes the copy and the messaging can feel like this harder thing, like maybe a little bit, something that's a little bit less like outwardly fun. Although I love writing. I'm sure you do too, since this is the area you work in. And I'd love to talk about how we can make this like messaging side of things a part of this like creative process as well.
Yeah. And I think you're so right. Because that creative side is so much fun. It is like you get to play around with colors and like you're sitting around coming up with new ways to make the website look really nice. And that part is fun. And I think we gravitate towards it because it's easy for a lot of people to kind of get lost in that and spend time, you know, creating Pinterest boards and things like that for inspiration. And I'm not going to lie, that is a really fun part of business building. And it's a really fun part of branding in general. But I think that once you can think about your messaging and your how you're talking to people, who you're talking to, and you're really starting to come from a place of, which I know that yoga teachers always are, this place of service, and you're turning it into kind of, to me, everything is an experiment. Because of my science background, everything to me is an experiment. I'm just trying things out to see what's going to work, to see what's going to land. And when I can, I think because we put so much of ourself into the messaging aspect of it, right? And we are thinking about messaging from this perspective of like, I have to say the right thing. Like if I don't say the right thing, like people are going to not resonate with this, or people might not like me, or no one will like this. And when we're coming from that place of like really being self-conscious about our messaging and what we're saying, then it doesn't become fun because it becomes this exercise in trying to be perfect. And creativity is the opposite of that. We're just trying to create and we're having fun, right? But you can do the same with messaging. To me, messaging is this game I'm playing to see like, okay, what if I say this? Let me see what happens. And I have to detach myself from that process. And I take it as an exercise in learning more about the people I want to serve. And then I get to see, okay, I put this piece of content out there. I put out this launch and it didn't go the way that I planned. What happened here? What things didn't resonate? Like, let me go back and dig into that. And when I do that, it becomes more like a fun creative game as opposed to trying to figure out the right exact thing to say at the right exact time, because that's not really what messaging is. Messaging is something that really just evolves over time. The more you say things, the more you say it in different ways, the more you talk to people, the more you hear feedback, the more you see what someone says in response to you putting out an offer out there. That's what like really hones your messaging. And when you can make it into a fun game of service towards other people by trying to figure out exactly how you can talk to them in a way that connects with them, then it becomes fun. But the way we think about it now is really just like, oh, we have to get the perfect words onto paper, onto the website, onto Instagram. And that takes away the fun out of it like immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all of that. So thank you for sharing that. And I think one thing that I can really resonate with starting MBOM, you know, I guess it was 5 years ago, was trying to figure out like the voice of MBOM and what MBOM was, because it's like, as a solopreneur, which is a lot of yoga teachers, it's like, it's you talking, right? And you're trying to figure out who you're talking to and what you're trying to say and what your message is, because naturally as humans, we're not like one-sided creatures. We're multifaceted. So we have lots of sides of us. And it's kind of this journey of figuring out like what you want to share. I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts on the process around as you're building a brand and coming up with your messaging. Like, where do you start if you're starting from scratch?
I always start with vision. I think vision is so important, and it's the place that everyone needs to start, because if you don't have that vision of where you're headed and what's really important to you, what's going to anchor you in this process, you will find yourself jumping from one idea to the next, from one strategy to the next, from like one thing to the pivoting to the next thing, and always just in that place of feeling like you're on this hamster wheel that isn't really going anywhere. And so I always tell people to start with vision, because once you can get really rooted in, this is what I want, not just out of my business, but out of my life, like this is what I want my life to look like a few years down the line, that makes all the difference, because then you can anchor yourself in those things. And when a new strategy or a new idea or a new marketing hack comes out into the world, you're able to see if it aligns with your vision and if it's aligned in terms of where you want to go. So I always tell people to start with that vision, to really hone in on that. And then really define who it is that you want to work with. Who are the people that you're going to help, and get super specific. I know we talk a lot about like niching down and all the time, right? And we are told to do that. And it's so important to do that, because once you can get clear on who you're talking to and who they, what they're all about, how do they think, what makes them excited? What are the things that they're struggling with right now? Once you can get really deep in understanding that aspect of it, it really helps clarify how you can show up and serve them. And then that's the next piece of it. So you've got your vision, you know who you want to serve. Then it's really defining, how is it that I serve them? What are the things that I'm going to offer to solve their specific problems? Not just things that you want to do, but what is actually going to help get my potential clients a transformation, get them from the place where they're struggling to a place where they have this transformation and they're no longer struggling with that thing anymore. How is it that I do that? How is that I facilitate that? And that becomes your differentiator. That unique way that you approach that work is the way that you can differentiate yourself from other teachers, from other businesses out there. And so those are the first three things, because once you get those things clarified, it becomes really easy to start developing messaging and content and marketing strategies. But those are my top three that I always tell people. And also your core values, really diving into core values, understanding what those are for you, so that you can align with the types of people who value those same things as you as well. So vision, core values, your clients, and then how are you going to show up for those people?
Yeah, I love everything that you just said. And I think one thing that I just want to touch on is with regards to the niching, because I know that this is something that, you know, I've struggled with a little bit, because, you know, I'll just give you an example personally, like starting out in the yoga business world, it's like, okay, I work with yoga teachers on their businesses. And that felt very niche when I started 5 years ago. You know, there weren't a lot of people running podcasts like this one and that type of thing. And then working on your yoga business has become more and more popular over the years. There's lots of people talking about this. And what I've realized is that, okay, it's like, what's the specificity within that? What type of yoga teacher do I work with? Where are they at in their career? It's like, you've got to kind of narrow it in a little bit more. And that makes it a lot harder. And so I'd love to hear, like, for anyone listening who's maybe like, I just want to teach everybody, or like, I just started, I have no idea who I'm going to teach. Do you have any tips for kind of how you can begin creating your brand if you're not totally clear on your niche?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think that for me, it makes messaging harder when you aren't able to niche down. I think though that you can just start by offering things. That's what I did. I did not have a very specific person. I just wanted to work with women-owned businesses is what my niche was, which is very broad and is not specific in any way, shape, or form. But that's what I started with. And I was helping those types of businesses build their websites and their logos and their branding and all of those elements. And the more I worked with people, the more I got clarity. I would hate for someone to want to start putting their yoga classes out there and start teaching and working with people, but they are sitting there stuck because they can't figure out the niche or figure out, okay, what specific person am I working with? I would much rather you just put it out there and say, you know, pick a person and say, you know what, I want to work with this type of people, even if it's very broad, because the more you work with people, the more you put things out there, you will clarify who you want to work with. And over time, I've gotten very, very specific about who I work with, who I don't work with. And that all came as a result of just going out there and putting it out there. I will say the caveat to that is that if you don't have a very specific niche that you're working with and you're not very clear when you're getting started, growth will happen much more slowly than it does when you are niched. The reason for that is when you speak to a very specific type of person, you become the go-to for that specific person. And that's really what we want to do in branding, is become the go-to for a very specific group of people. We cannot serve everyone. We aren't meant to serve everyone. We are meant to serve the people that we are a good fit to serve. And so when you can get very specific, it really helps you to grow much faster. And then your niche will expand as your audience grows automatically. That's just the nature of how that tends to work. But if you're going to start very broad, just recognize that the growth, at least for me, it was like that. And for clients I've had who also started out with very broad niches, their growth was much slower. And then once they were able to get very specific on who they wanted to serve, they started to see that growth happen because their messaging was so clear and they weren't all over the place and it was very targeted to who they wanted to serve. But if you don't have that when you're first getting started, just start, just put things out there, just work with people and you'll start to peel away at like, oh, okay, didn't love working with that person. Why is that? Okay, then I need to work with these types of people. Okay, I loved working with that person. How can I work with more of that? And you're going to start to clarify and get even more and more clear as you go. So I would just say, just start. And I know that's not grandiose thing to say, right? But it's true. Just get started and you'll start to clarify as you go. That's better than just sitting with an idea for a long period of time, not doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm. No, I really love that because I think that one of the best ways we can learn is through action, or at least that's one of the best ways I learned. And I think that it's easy to get kind of crippled by trying to do things perfectly instead of kind of like just going for it and learning as you go. And I think that you make a really great point around just putting some stuff out there. And one piece of advice I got like really, really early on in my yoga career, it was a guest that I had on super, super early on the podcast. She said, say yes to find your no's. And it's something that I teach new yoga teachers that I work with in trainings and stuff like that, where it's like, say yes to things that come your way, unless you already know that you like absolutely hate that thing, say yes and see if you like it or not. And I think that that's, you know, advice that we get as young people, maybe going to college for your career. It's like, say yes to an opportunity. And if you don't like it, then you put it in the no pile and you try something else. The only way for us to really figure out like what we like doing and who we like serving is to try that, to say yes to a client and be like, whoa, 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 I did not enjoy that. And so I love that piece of advice around like just getting started.
And now it's time for a short break from the show to talk about our sponsor, OfferingTree. If you're interested in finding an all-in-one platform for online or in-person teaching, then you should definitely check out OfferingTree. OfferingTree set out to make creating your digital presence fun, easy, and affordable. With one click, you can build a website, run online or in-person live classes, sell pre-recorded classes, manage memberships and packages, and much more. Communicating with your students is seamless and easy with their automated email system and email marketing tools. Already have your own website? No problem, because OfferingTree can embed seamlessly into your existing website. They're always adding new features to their platform to make it even better. They just recently released the online store feature that lets you easily sell digital content like yoga videos, challenges, and courses right from your website. If you're looking for a single platform to take care of all of your online and in-person teaching needs, then visit offeringtree.com/MBOM. OfferingTree has been supporting MBOM for over a year now, and I not only love the product, but I also love the people. OfferingTree is providing special pricing for MBOM listeners, so be sure to visit offeringtree.com/MBOM. That's offeringtree.com/MBOM to receive the discount. All right, now back to the episode.
Another thing I'd love to dive into is, and you've kind of touched on this a little bit, just around finding that messaging. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot in the marketing space is like, your people will tell you your messaging. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how you use that or your twist on that in terms of actually finding the words to put on your website or in your marketing, your social media, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So I always say that messaging can't be created in a vacuum, because it really can't, because we think that some words are just fabulous and we've gotten so creative and we've, you know, I love a good alliteration. And so I'm like, oh, this is fabulous. I love this. And then you put it out there and no one gets what you're talking about. They're like, what is going on? And so what I really love to do in terms of having your audience reflect back to you is to do market research. And it doesn't have to, market research does not have to be this big, huge project. I mean, we do that for our clients where we have calls with people and have specific questions we ask and dig into all sorts of things with them. But in the day-to-day of your business, it can just be as simple as getting on Instagram stories and saying, hey, does this phrase resonate with you? What do you think of when you hear this word? And then you're going to get responses from your audience that are like, yes, that resonates, or no. And they're going to explain if you ask. And that really helps to hone in on what it is that you're trying to say and how you're trying to say it. And sometimes you might find that your audience isn't here for your cute and clever phrasing of things, which is sometimes sad when you've taken time to create a cute and clever phrase for whatever it is that you're doing, for a new offer or a new class or something like that. But you might find that your audience is like, nope, just keep it simple. I'd much rather it be called XYZ. And you're like, fabulous. That's exactly what I'm going to do. It really, to me, allowing your audience to have a say in your messaging, to me, is just inviting them into the process. And it's as simple as sharing behind the scenes, sharing the process, letting them in and saying like, hey, this is what I'm creating. What do you think of this? What do you think of the things that I'm offering here? Does this excite you? And letting them kind of shape how you offer things. Of course, it has to feel good to you as well. It shouldn't just be what your clients say or your audience says, but allowing them into that process gives you so much insight and helps you to see where the value is and what you're doing, because they're going to reflect that back to you. What wording really resonates with them and what gets them excited about what you're offering. You might think that, oh, me offering this one-on-one aspect is going to be the thing that gets people to buy. But you might find that they're like, yeah, that's great, but I really love that you're providing me with this detailed guide. And now that's something you get to highlight in your messaging and talk about more, is the detailed guide, because you know that that's what they've said is really exciting them. I will also say that on the flip side of that, market research shouldn't be the end all be all. You are the expert. You are the reason people are coming. Your process, your unique approach is why people are coming to work with you. And so always balance that with what you're hearing from your audience. Like, yes, that could be a great thing that they're telling you, but also recognize when that's just because they don't have enough education in what I'm doing for them to get what I'm saying right now. I need to go and do some more education so that they understand where I'm coming from. So you have to kind of find that balance in terms of when you're going to take that feedback and that input from your audience, and when you're just going to go with your gut because you know that this is what's going to help solve their problem. And it's a fine balance, but that's really what I say. It's as simple as inviting them into the process, or you can conduct market research calls where you sit down and ask them why they've bought things from you before, why they would, and just really dive into that aspect. But it's so much more fun when you can do it in the moment on in social media. Makes it so easy with polls and things like that, and asking people after class like what they felt was the most valuable. Like, it's so easy and people love to share their input. So that is really how I like to invite people into that process. Does that, I answered that question.
No, you totally did. That was a really great answer. And I love the idea of like being more engaged with your people, you know, online or in person, whichever way that you're teaching, and getting to hear from them and like really listening to what they have to say. I always think about how it's like with anything you're creating, it's kind of got to be this intersection of like something you're passionate about and something you have expertise in, and then something that your audience is interested in as well. And I think talking to them is the best way to figure out like, are they interested in this? Is this something that resonates with them? What do they think about when they hear these words, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And I think it's so much fun when you get to do that, because then you get to invite. I am such a big proponent of doing things as simple as possible. Like, businesses have been running since the beginning of time, and back then they didn't have Instagram. They didn't have all sorts of fancy tools and things that we have available to us now, which is amazing. I love technology, and so I'm a big fan. But I like to find ways that you can simplify. And if you're thinking, hey, I'm going to offer this class and I think I might do it in this format or this format, let me ask my audience. And you get to ask them. And what I find is so fun about that is once people have an input, And once they've shared how they would like the offer to be presented to them, it makes it so much easier for you to sell. It's no longer sleazy. It doesn't feel like you're trying to convince people. You now get to invite them into this new offer that you've had them help you co-create, essentially, by asking for their input, asking for their insight, saying like, hey, if I did this thing, would you guys prefer me do it this way or this way? Then it becomes so easy to go back to those people who gave input or insight and say, hey, thank you so much for your help on putting this together. I'm going to put this offer out there into the world. I would love to see you as part of it. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? And it makes it so much easier to invite people into the work that you're doing when you involve them in the process. And I love how that is filled with so much ease, so much flow. And isn't this like pressure filled sales experience for everyone, which we all probably don't love that. And it just makes that process so much easier. And it feels more like an invitation to the offer that they helped you create, as opposed to you trying to figure everything out by yourself and then convincing people that they need this because they already said, oh yeah, I'd love that. Especially if you did it in this format, I'd be all over that. And you're like, great. That's how I'm going to present it to you. And I hope that you can come join me in this new offer, this new class, this new workshop, whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm curious if anyone's listening and they're like, this is great, but I don't really like social media. Do you have any thoughts around how to kind of invite people into this party or get people's thoughts in this new virtual world if you're not like a big social media person?
Yes, I am. I love social media, but I also have a like love-hate relationship with it. And I'm not, I wouldn't categorize myself as someone who's like really great at me at being online. I built my business all from referrals, word of mouth, personal connections, just getting to know people and building relationships. And so I would say, what is the way that is easiest for you to connect with people? If it's not social media, I know right now we can't be in person, but if it's connecting with people over virtual coffee and having a hangout on Zoom with someone and saying like, hey, I'd love to connect with you, and emailing them and saying, here is the link to my calendar. Let's get on a call and just chat and hang out. And I'd love to get to know you more. And building those one-on-one relationships is so essential. And I love that personally. That's, like I said, that's how I built my business. And you don't need to be on social media. You just need to find different ways to engage with people. So whether that's like you're connecting with local businesses in your area that you feel like would be a great collaboration for you, or have some of those similar audiences that another business locally might have or another community locally might have. Those are great ways. I know right now with it being virtual, it's so hard to get out and meet people and be in person with people because that's what I used to love doing. I would go to events and I would go to conferences and just meet people face to face. And I built my business on less than 1,000 Instagram followers. I just got past that mark recently. And I had a thriving business without that. So I don't associate like having a brand or having a successful business with having a large Instagram following or social media following or being active on those platforms. You just have to find the ways that you like to connect with people, whether that's on a different platform outside of Facebook and Instagram, or whether that's personal connections that you can call up people and say, hey, can I connect with you? Also just asking your network of people that saying, hey, to your friend and saying, hey, I have this thing. Do you know anyone who would be a good fit? Or do you know anyone who would be interested in working with someone like me? And if they're like, yeah, I actually know several people, you could just say, hey, would you be willing to make that connection? And truly just getting to know people one-on-one, making the effort to connect, and whether it's virtual coffees, like I said, or when we're able to be in person, getting coffee with people or joining local communities, those are ways that you can involve people in the process and get to know people and build those relationships and connections that will help you to hone in on your messaging. Because yeah, to me, it's all just about building relationships in any way that you can, in whatever way feels good to you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you shared that. That was really impactful. And it's making me think about how I have a really close friend who runs a like yoga and personal training business in Atlanta. And she used to teach at like a bunch of studios. She did that for the first maybe like 4 years of her career. And then she had enough people wanting privates that she actually shifted away pretty much entirely from teaching in studio. And she did have, you know, a website and stuff like that, but she's like, I'm actually really not using it. Like most people come through referrals. Like I don't need a website. So she actually does her business like almost entirely offline. Like she does have an Instagram account, but it's not really like a business account. It's more of a personal account. And it's just, I just find it like so interesting the way that we can kind of get stuck in our heads sometimes around this, like these shoulds, like I should do this or I should do that, or, you know, other people are having success with this. And I think that, you know, success is going to come in all different shapes and forms, and it's going to mean something different to everyone. And just like you said, we really have to look at where our strengths lie. And if your strengths lie more with getting referrals and then having conversations with those people and doing that work completely behind the scenes, whether it's an in-person coffee or a virtual coffee, you know, that can be a really great way to build a business, just like you've done and just like my friend's done. We don't necessarily have to be, you know, Instagram influencers or like famous online to have a successful business.
Exactly. You can't see me, but I'm like nodding my head over here. Yes, 1000%. And I also want to really get people, love when people finally get to that place where they understand that we as people, we like to have a process. We like to follow whatever process is going to get us results, because I mean, that's what we do in school. That's what we do in, if you have a 9-to-5 and, or, you know, you are starting a new business, you want to see someone else who's kind of done the same thing and follow in that process, right? You want to follow that footstep and see like, okay, that's the way that I'm going to get to where I want to go. But the problem with that is then we get caught up in all these shoulds and we lose sight of the fact that we've started our own businesses to carve our own path in the world. And the people that we see who have become successful, maybe they followed someone, maybe they didn't, but they carved their own path, right? And they found a way that worked for them. And so I really like to remind people that that's, you're that person for yourself. You're the person who's going to carve your own path for yourself. You're the person who's going to pave the way in a way that feels good to you. And so I don't like when people get caught up in the shoulds, because it never helps you. And it takes away from your own entrepreneurial spirit when you allow other people to build your business based on what they think you should be doing. If something doesn't feel good to you and you don't feel right about being on Instagram every day, if you don't feel right about doing live videos and that just doesn't feel good for you and how you want to operate, yes, you need to market your business. Yes, you need to get visible. Like those things are things that are just basics of business building, but you can do it in your own way. You can find unique ways to do that. And whether that's creating a referral system in your business so that your current clients are the ones who are bringing other people in and helping you build that business in that way, whether that's doing local things, whether that's holding like private Zoom dinner parties or conversations virtually, like find the things that light you up, that excite you, that make you feel good to connect with people in that way, and just do that and carve your own path. And I think that that's so powerful when we get to realize that the power, we have the answers and we have the power to create what we want. We just have to work that process that works great for us instead of listening to all the shoulds that are out there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the hard part, right? Because there's, I just feel like sometimes I go on social media and there's a million people telling me how to live my life and, you know, how to get fit and how to eat healthier and how to spend less money and how to travel more and how I should run my business, how to find my niche. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's so much information. And then you kind of have to pull yourself out of that and tune into yourself. And I think we know this is like, as yogis and yoga practitioners, to tune into yourself and really like figure out like, okay, what's sitting with me? What's resonating with me? What feels good about all the information I just took in? And, you know, I think we can just be like, oh, it's great that that works for that one person. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for you.
Yeah. And we can take things from people and learn things. I follow someone, an entrepreneur that I really, admire. And she always says, take what you need, leave what you don't. And she says that even about the advice she gives out. She's like, take what you need, leave what you don't need. And I love that so much. So yes, the online space, fabulous. It gives us so many inspiration, so many ideas, right? But also we get to choose what we take from someone's advice and what we implement and what we feel like isn't going to work for us, and we can leave it.
Yes. Amazing. I really love that. And so, you know, getting near to the end of this interview, I want to come back to this whole branding and messaging. Are there any other, you know, tips that you have for anyone who is out there either starting their brand and messaging for the first time, or maybe like rebranding and re-messaging based on clarifying their niche and their offerings?
Yeah, I think I would say that really make the focus of your messaging the people you want to serve, the transformation that you provide, and what is your unique process for doing that. Those are the things that are going to help hone your messaging so much. And those are the things I work on with my clients all the time. So really figuring out your offer and what makes your offer unique, is your approach. And so really figuring out, like, what is my approach? What is it that I'm doing that's different? How is it that I'm combining the different things that I know or the different skill sets that I have to create this, this experience for people? And then what is the transformation? What I like to do is, I call it the bridge method, and you write down where someone is starting. So maybe someone will keep it simple and say someone has like really, really severe back pain from sitting at a desk all day long. And so you're working with people who have desk jobs that they're sitting in for long periods of time and they have a lot of back pain. That's where they're starting. And then the end result, let's say the transformation ultimately is no more back pain. They've moved away from that where they're not experiencing this extreme back pain day to day. And then what you're doing, so that's like the bridge that's happening. And then what you want to do is figure out what are the mini transformations that are happening in between them having this extreme back pain all the way to not having it anymore. Is it that they're incorporating movement into their day so that their pain is less severe and they're no longer, you know, taking pain meds every day? Whatever that looks like, what are the transformations that are happening, the mini transformations that are happening on their road to this complete transformation that they would experience? And that is that's your process. That's what you're helping people walk through. And that's what is your unique approach to helping them walk through that process? And that's all the messaging points. That's how you're going to talk to people. That's how you're going to really help them see what it is that they're struggling with now and how you can help them transform that struggle, because that's all we're doing as business owners is providing solutions to problems that people are facing every day in the way that we approach our work. And so I like to do that. And then going out there and just testing out the messaging, putting out your offer, putting out what your ideas are, putting out your unique perspective on things, and seeing what happens, seeing what people say, what people resonate with, what people don't resonate with, what things are they excited to learn, what things are the things that they're like, oh my gosh, how did you know that that's something I'm struggling with? What are those times that they're saying that? Take note of that and use that to hone in your messaging even more and more. And take note of who you like working with and who you don't like working with and who you're able to get the best results for, because that will help you hone your messaging even more and more. So that would be my tip, is to really hone in on your unique process. What is it? How is it that you help people get that transformation? What is the transformation? What are all the steps in that transformation that are happening? And then who are these people? Like, who are they and how are you talking to them? And really just putting that out there. And what's your unique perspective? I think when you can get honed in on those things and really just get consistent with putting that out there, you're going to find that things become clearer and clearer. And it's always a work in progress. It isn't something that you're going to land on one day and be like, yep, I'm here. Never have to worry about this again. It's going to be something that you're going to work at all of the time. But you'll feel that clarity as you do it more and more. You'll start to feel like, okay, I think I'm starting to get the hang of this. I think I'm starting to like make headway. I'm noticing that more and more people are engaging. I'm noticing that more and more people are signing up for a class. And that's what happens when you get really good at honing in on your messaging and ultimately your brand.
Yeah. Yeah, I really love that. And I'm so glad that you touched on the fact that it's an ongoing process, because I think that that's one thing that, you know, we kind of think, and I'm somebody who loves to check check things off a to-do list. Like I just get a lot of joy over that, like tick mark or sending it away on my to-doist or Trello board or whatever I'm working with. And I think that knowing, like, it's kind of like the good and the bad news, right? Like the good news is that you don't have to have this perfect and fully complete. The bad news is that it's going to be an ongoing process. And if you like completing things, just know that you're going to have to continue working with it. So yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so true. As a checklist lover myself, yes, it's very hard to have that, but it also feels good because then it means that you don't have to get it perfect the first time. So it's best of both worlds, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Well, this conversation has been really fabulous. You've given us so much good information today, tonight. And I'm sure that there's people who are like, oh my gosh, I need help with this. I would love if you could share with people where they can go to find you, learn more about the work that you do, the agency, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, of course. This has been such a fun conversation, Amanda. I love it so much. So you can connect with me over on Instagram, which I love hanging out over there. Danait BG, DanaitBG. And feel free to message and DM me and chat. I love to connect with people. And you can find out more about my work at theasvaraagency.com, which is our website.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure being here.
All right, friend. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you would like to hear more of Danait and I's conversation, you can head on over to MBO and Behind the Scenes, where we're diving into all of the goodness that she's learned throughout her career as an entrepreneur. And she talked about how she's been an entrepreneur since she was a little girl. And she talks about the different things that she's learned from self-care to systems to everything in between. So if you want to check that out, you can head on over to patreon.com/MBOM Yoga. I would love to see you there. There's this episode plus almost a year's worth of episodes there. They come out every single week and there's lots of different topics. So head on over to get access to that to patreon.com/MBOM Yoga. And of course, I'd like to give a big thank you to this week's sponsor for the episode, Offering Tree. Make sure you go check them out at offeringtree.com/MBOM. If you have any questions, make sure you let me know. Love to hear from you. And thank you for listening to the show. I am so grateful that you've tuned in today, that you've listened to this whole episode, that you're here listening to this. And I will see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the podcast. To find links, notes, resources, and everything mentioned in today and all episodes of the show, you can head on over to mbomyoga.com. You can find the podcast and myself on Facebook and social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And I would love for you to join the private Facebook community, Yoga Business Badasses. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please make sure you reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. And last of all, if you enjoyed this episode of the show, please make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It would mean the world. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.